welcome back to another episode of the Christian Apologist Podcast. I am your host, Richard Long, and in today's episode, what I want to talk about is morality. It seems to be out there a lot lately on the Roe v. Wade case and the way people are acting towards it. And, you know, we need to talk about why there is morality. We need to talk about the ontological question of why is there this thing out there known as morality. But, you know, what I've noticed a lot is that a lot of people and a lot of atheists, not all atheists, but a lot of atheists seem to think that Christian apologists are saying that unless you are a Christian or unless you know God, then you can't be moral. And that's not what we're saying. Everybody knows morality. The Bible says it's written on our hearts from birth. So we all know morality. And I watch a lot of debates and I get a lot of feedback from atheists that sit there and say things. But what I've noticed is most of the things that they're saying is the epistemological side of morality, about how they know what morality is, or how we know as a human species of what morality is, even though they fail at it a lot of the times. But they try to talk about the epistemological side of morality. And that is really not my concern, because, I mean, we all know morality. Here is my concern about that, though, is in today's society, it seems as if it's not about knowing morality. It's more along the lines of, what can I say to make my fellow man happier? Whether it be the truth or a lie, I just want to say what's going to make them happy. And that is not morality. That is a lie. I mean, now don't get me wrong, guys. You know, if you have wives or girlfriends or whatever, if she asks you if she looks good in a dress, you better tell her, yes, she looks good in this dress. If she asks you if she looks fat in these jeans, you better say, no, she doesn't look fat in those jeans. I'm not talking about simple things of morality. I'm talking about the deep things, the things that can actually hurt people spiritually, physically, like really damage them. That's the type of morality I'm talking about. And like the Roe v. Wade thing, we all agree that murder is wrong. Even the people that are for abortion, they agree that murder is wrong. Except for the line is drawn about, you know, when does it become life? When does it become murder? That's the question. And see, and to me, the truth is just so scattered out there anymore. And the truth hasn't changed. The truth doesn't change. You can't use the "it's true for you, but not for me" circumstances no more. It completely disintegrates the laws of logic. I mean, what's true for you is the same truth for me at the same place at the same time. Now, we can have individual truths, like if I live in, you know, Lubbock, Texas, and it's raining here, I can say, it's raining today. And if you live in San Francisco or Arizona or, you know, somewhere, and you say, well, it's not raining here, that's a perspective truth, you know? So, but if I say the sky is blue, that is an objective truth. That's true for me and for you and for everyone around the world at the exact same time. You know, the sky will always be blue unless it's dark, you know, but I mean, the sky's blue. And life, you know, it, like I said, it's people break down, they want to break down specifications on when life begins and everything else. And that's how they can justify wanting to do these abortions. But, you know, to me, that's the problem with this morality that's going around, you know, with everyone. It's not so much about, you know, truth. It's about, what can I say to justify to make this true for me and my circumstance? See, and that's not truth. That's not truth. That's just saying something to help you get by with whatever it is that you're doing or you've done or or whatever. But as far as morality goes, as far as objective morality goes, and I know a lot of atheists don't believe in objective morality, but you can't sit there and say you don't believe in objective morality, even if you're an atheist, because, I mean, what is morality? You know, it's simple things. It's, you know, like, you know, the Nazis were wrong. Slavery is wrong. Killing innocent children is wrong. These kinds of things are objectively true. And if you don't believe that's objectively true, then you need to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist or get on some medication, because these things are evil. They're bad. If you don't like the word evil, you can say bad. They're bad. They're evil things. Okay? I don't understand how atheists can sit there and say that, you know, that they believe in morality, but they don't believe it came from, you know, God. They believe that it's done through evolution. And to me, that doesn't make sense, because for one, there's not a gene inside of us at all that tells us what is moral and what isn't moral. I mean, we know these things from birth, you know? We all do. I mean, look at any kid. They know right from wrong. As soon as they get to the age to know the difference from right and wrong, they know. Nobody has to teach them. They just know. You know, so I don't understand how that could have came from evolution. And they can say, oh, well, it came from evolution because it's best for what's best for the human species. It's best for us. So this is where morality comes from. It helps us to flourish and all these things. And, you know, and if most of us agree that these are good for human flourishing and human development, then it's morally good. And you can't use that, because what if I was to tell you that Adolf Hitler succeeded and Nazi Germany won World War II? And are you saying that if they did win and all of us had to be taught that the Jews were bad, homosexuals needed to be murdered, if you were any kind of a one leg, one arm, one eye, mentally handicapped, any of these things, you need to be killed because that's what the majority says, would that make it right then? No, of course it wouldn't make it right. It would still be wrong. Because deep down inside, we all know morality. It's not moral relativism. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter if like a whole group of people sit there and say this is right. It's wrong. It's wrong. And if it's right, it's right. And you can't just use moral relativism as your source of saying something is good or bad. I mean, what if slavery never would have got abolished? Would it still be good? No. No, it was never a good thing. And I know I'm not talking about slavery in the Bible, so I know a lot of atheists are going to talk about this, because slavery in the Bible is a total different subject. It's a total different issue. It wasn't race-based hate. It was servitude. These are facts. I can prove it to you in another video, or if you want to leave comments or whatever. I'm talking about race-based hate, slavery, beating and torturing and hurting other human beings. That is wrong. It's always been wrong. It'll always be wrong. And so my question isn't an epistemological question. I'm not asking you what is morality. And I'm talking to all the atheists out there right now. I'm not asking you to tell me what morality is. I'm asking you to tell me, why is there this thing known as morality? Why is it there? Where did it come from? Why is it there? Why do we have it? That's what I'm wanting to know. I don't want to know the epistemological side. I want to know the ontological answer to this. Where did it come from? And let's just assume for 1 second that you're completely and utterly right, and morals have become a part of the evolutionary process. Okay, we're going to assume that you're correct on this. My question is since evolution is adaptation and constantly changing, basically saying that morals are going to change sooner or later, that someday rape might be good, murder might not be wrong, torturing innocent babies for fun might not be a bad thing, it might not be against the law, hurting innocent animals might not be against the law. These little simple things, they also have to evolve. Everything evolves, that it too has to evolve. And so how do you explain the process that you know, if you believe in the process of evolution and that's where morality came from, you have to agree that morality will evolve. And these things that we hold dear to us as moral values, the golden rule, could sooner or later actually be vanquished because, you know, morality is going to evolve if you are correct. I don't think you are, because none of that makes sense to me. But Michael Shermer showed a video one time when he was debating Frank Turek about morality. And I'm a big fan of Frank Turek's, and I'm actually kind of surprised that he didn't bring this up in the interview or in the debate, because Michael Shermer shows this video of two monkeys in a cage, and, you know, I don't know if they're training them. I don't know what the process was. He doesn't tell the whole story, but basically, monkeys liked the grapes more than they liked cucumbers, I think it was, or something like that. And so he asked one monkey for like a rock. So the monkey hands him a rock. So he hands this monkey a cucumber. The cage right next to him asks the monkey for a rock. The monkey hands him a rock and he hands him a grape. So he goes back to the cage next to the other side again. And he says, he asks for a rock. The monkey hands him a rock and he gives him a cucumber again. Like I said, monkeys like grapes better than cucumbers. So the monkey grabs a cucumber and he throws it at the scientist. And that was Michael Shermer's way of saying that not just humans know morality, know right and wrong. He was saying that this monkey knows right and wrong. He knows that that was a great injustice of what had been done. And I have to completely and utterly disagree. This is a monkey. He is an animal. He is acting on instinct. He's not throwing the cucumber back at the lady because this was injustice. He's throwing it back at the lady because he wants a grape. It has nothing to do with morality. Nothing. Nothing to do with morality at whatsoever. He wanted a grape. He saw this monkey get a grape. He wanted a grape. He threw the cucumber back. It's not because it was moral. It wasn't because it was injustice. It's because this is what the monkey wanted. I mean, seriously, you're trying to pull morality from an animal, which I was actually thinking about buying a monkey at one time. And he told me that it's basically like raising a two-year-old for like 30 years. And when they get mad at you, they will take their diapers off full of poop and throw it at you. And you're going to ask this for, it wasn't the same kind of monkey, but it's just the point though. You're going to ask this for like use this as a moral, like a morality to prove a point. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's a monkey. It's like, if you put these two monkeys in a cage together and you give one a grape and one a cucumber and one kills the other one for a grape, you're going to be like, oh, it was morality because he wanted the grape. No, they're animals. They're wild. They're unpredictable. This is what animals do. They are not made in the image of God like all of us. They don't act off of morality. They act off of instinct. That's what they do. They act off of instinct. So, and they act off of what they've been trained to. I mean, if you're trying to train a dog and every time you want them to sit, you give them a treat. You sit, get a treat, sit, get a treat, sit, get a treat. And you do this all the time and it's the same treat and it's their favorite treat. And then out of nowhere, you start telling them to sit and you start giving them the nastiest treat in the world. sooner or later, they're going to quit sitting. Why? It's not because of morality. It's because they were trained to sit for this good snack. They're not going to sit for a bad snack. And it's the same thing with these monkeys that Michael Shermer was trying to show. So I don't think that's a very good argument for morality being a form of evolution instead of coming from God's nature. I just don't see it. And like I said, nowadays with this cancel culture, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think it's better to lie to someone because you just don't want to argue with them, or you don't want controversy with them, or you don't want, you know, any kind of conflict with them or argument with them at all? Do you think it's better to lie to them, or do you tell them the truth? I mean, if it's the truth, it's the truth. Like I said, guys, this don't apply to you when your wife asks you questions. I'm talking about, you know, serious, deep down questions. Like if someone says, hey, you know, I got fired from my job, I think I'm going to go back up there with the gun. Are you going to be like, well, I don't want to argue with them. So, yeah, that might be just a good thing to, no, you're not going to do that. You know that's wrong. You're going to tell them not to do that. But you think because there's not an immediate danger to that person or someone else, then you can lie to them and your conscience is clear. And let me tell you something. You can lie to someone today about something, but further down the future, sooner or later, it's going to catch up. Going to catch up, and that one simple lie you told could have avoided whatever's going to come to them or to someone else in the future if you just would have told the truth and dealt with the conflict at that time. People don't like hearing the truth anymore, and that is what's scary to me. That is what's horrifying. I mean, like, look at our president, for instance. And I don't try to talk politics on my podcast or my website or my YouTube channel. I don't try talking politics. And who I vote for and who I don't vote for, it doesn't matter. You can't sit there and tell me since Biden's been in office, things have gotten better. There's not a single one of you that's saying your life has gotten better. Yeah, you can sit there and say, oh, we've got all these stimulus checks and everything else. We are going to have to pay that back. And we are paying for it back. Gas prices are at an all-time high. Inflation's at an all-time high. I mean, he's giving money away to, you know, Ukraine and billions and trillions of dollars of it. While we over here are suffering. I mean, and a lot of people are like, oh, I like Biden, I voted. You can vote for Biden all day long, but it's okay to sit there and say, you know what? He's not doing the job I want him to do. He's not doing the best job in the world. He's really kind of, you know, messing us over. He's screwing us over. Us, as in the American people. It's screwing us over. And I don't understand why people are throwing such a controversy about this Roe v. Wade thing. I mean, this is a good thing for democracy. Whether you believe in abortion, whether you pro-choice, pro-life, it doesn't matter. It's good for the democracy because that's how it was supposed to have been. It was supposed to have been in our court, so we make the decisions, not the government, but we do. And so all they said was, you know what? We're going to step out of this because this isn't our decision to make for a country as a whole. This is for each individual state to make for themselves. If you don't like the choice of your state, move states. That's all I can say. But morality needs to be dealt with. And we need to talk about not the epistemological part of immorality. We all know what morality is. We can argue back and forth on specifics of morality, which is ridiculous, but we can do it. But when Christian apologists, majority of them, I can't speak for everybody, but especially for me, I can say, when I talk about morality, I'm not asking the epistemological question of what is morality. I'm asking, where did it come from? Where is its origin? Where did it come from? Why is there this thing out there called morality? I mean, it's just a question. I mean, and people all the time, atheists, a lot of them, sit there and try to talk about evolution and everything else. And some even talk about it being an unknown law, like the laws of logic, you know, like the laws of physics. You know, they say it's just an unknown law we haven't discovered yet. But, I mean, that doesn't explain where it came from. I mean, that's not the ontological answer, because the question still remains, where did it come from? Where did the laws of physics come from? I mean, these are just the simple questions. So, I hope each and every one of you have a very blessed week. If you haven't got my book yet, like I said, it's out. You can buy it at Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can do it on iTunes, Google Play Store, or whatever Google uses as their books, Amazon. I don't know where else. A bunch of different places. My website, a bunch of different places you can purchase it. If you purchase the actual book from my website, I will sign it for you and send it to you myself. If you buy from anywhere else, you can either order the paperback version, which I believe is like $20.95, or you can order the ebook version, which is probably about half that price. It's up to you, however you want to do it. But I appreciate you, everyone buying the books. I'm hoping I get to write another one soon. Hopefully I'll have the time soon. Who knows? I would really like to debate some people. So if anybody has anybody in mind, and we can choose a topic and we'll stick to that topic and we'll roll with it. I don't like to do debates about like evidence for God's existence. I don't like to debate about stuff like that, or proof of God, or anything like that. I like, because I don't have the burden of proof, just like no atheist has a burden of proof on their side either. I like to argue things such as what better what's a better explanation for morality? What's a better explanation for reality? What's a better explanation for the fine tuning of the universe, or the universe itself, and stuff like this? Because then we can go back and forth with what our evidence shows, their evidence, and not my evidence, and we can just let people decide from there which evidence they want to follow, which one makes more sense to them, or which one leads them to what they believe is the truth. There's only one truth, though, but everybody can have their own self-truth. So, or what they believe is true, kind of like Muslims, you know. Muslims, they sit there and we'll use them all the time, you know, they're martyrs, you know, like they'll strap on some explosives and run into places and blow it up, and they think they're doing it for Allah. You know, people are like, oh, that's stupid. No, I mean, yeah, I don't agree with it, obviously, but they believe that they're going to get 72 virgins and please Allah with this. So each of us have our own truth. But we do need to figure out this whole cancel culture. And when it comes to morality, I'll say it one more time. When it comes to morality, when Christian apologetics, most of us are talking about morality, we are talking about the ontological question of why is there this thing such as morality? Not the epistemological on what is morality, but where it came from and why it's here. You all have a blessed week, and God bless.